Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. John Berger, who is a senior researcher in the Governance, Crime and Justice Division at the Institute for Security Studies. Dr. Berger, thank you for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So as I was saying, Dr. Berger, massive systemic failure. Where was the failure? Was this intelligence services? Was this police services? Was this where?
Yeah, sorry, you disappeared a little there, but I think I have the essence of your question. What happened with the information? It seems it's become a very controversial issue now whether, in the first instance, there was any useful intelligence that would have enabled the police to react much sooner and even proactively. So there's a lot of double talk by the Minister of Intelligence. The Minister of the Police also initially indicated that they had intelligence. But, you know, one needs to look at whether the intelligence was suitable for the purpose of preparing a large-scale police operation. Was it substantive enough? So those are the questions. And now there are allegations that the Minister of Intelligence was not completely truthful about the intelligence. So it's a lot of uncertainty. We hear all kinds of rumors, and hopefully Parliament will have a proper analysis of all of this and eventually provide us with some kind of report about the failures that we saw. Now,
Dr. Berger, various WhatsApp group discussions have been shared. I mean, this was almost semi-public information. There were a lot of people writing a lot of things on social media. Why is it that there was the systemic collapse of the security services, of the intelligence services?
Yeah, well, we don't know. We don't know. We can only make a few assumptions based on our understanding of the deficiencies and the weaknesses within the police service. We know that the police find themselves in crisis, and they've been in crisis for a number of years now. And we've been calling from the ISS that the police, there needs to be an urgent reform of the police service, and that needs to be a very deep rooted reform, not just the superficial change here and there and so on. So we made a number of recommendations in that regard. But just looking at that, we are looking at a police service that's been weakened over a number of years, that is experiencing its own crisis. You only have to look at the battles being fought amongst the top leadership of the police itself and between the National Commissioner and the Minister of Police to understand that right from the leadership downwards, the police are in crisis. So this is now what we question is, if we assume or accept that the police did have intelligence that alerted them, and even in the absence of intelligence that they should have read the situation on the ground, because this event was preceded by the arrest of Mr. Zuma, and the police were deployed there in numbers. They saw the situation, they heard the threats, and one can ask the question, why did they not have a contingency plan in place?
Absolutely.
For yeah, whatever outburst could follow after Mr. Zuma's arrest? So clearly, the absence of intelligence all on its own does not explain the inability of the police to have a proper reaction plan in place, a contingency plan, and to apply that plan once the situation started to happen from the 8th of this month onwards.
Are you implying, perhaps, Dr. Berger, that something more sinister is afoot here? I mean, the President has spoken about insurrection. He's used that word, not us. Could it very well be that there are those involved at the very top echelons of the police services and intelligence services who are involved in this coup attempt, insurrection, whatever it is that we choose to call it.
We are speculating, absolutely speculating. On the one hand, it could simply be a question of incompetence because of the weaknesses that exist in the police. So it could simply be that. It could also be a question that when they realized that something was happening, that they simply didn't know how to respond to that. Or it could be, as you suggest, something more sinister than that. We know that the kind of two camps that we see at the political level, there are serious indications of a similar two-camp situation within the service, such as the police service, where there are those who support Mr. Zuma and those who support Ramaphosa, and even those who not necessarily support any one of those political figures, but they simply do their jobs as provided for in the Constitution. So we don't know. The President promised that after all of this, there will be a thorough assessment of the situation, what went wrong, and that should enable us to determine whether any of these scenarios that I've just referred to, whether those are true or not, which of those are true. And then, you know, one should be able to decide what can be done, whether it is about individuals that needs to be acted against, or whether it's systemic problems, weaknesses in the police service. Some of those that we've been calling for that requires urgent and deep reform.
Were you surprised by the reaction of the community at large in terms of the taxi driver associations, the neighborhood committees, the people who said, so far and no further, we are going to make a stand? Did that surprise you, the extent to which civil society said, no, this isn't going to happen?
I wasn't surprised really by communities and community groups coming together and forming sort of self-protection or self-defense groups. I think that's in a way was a logical reaction to the absence of the police. So communities realized, they understood that if the police are nowhere to be seen, that they cannot rely on them to protect them should they be attacked or their property be attacked. So that, to me, was almost a logical consequence of, on the one hand, the large-scale violence and the large groups of people who participated in these attacks and looting and so on, and the action of communities. What surprised me, though, was the taxi industry. And you know, whatever noble motivation one would want to look for within the taxi industry, it looks like it was more about self-interest. They very quickly realized that when these large business or businesses are attacked and destroyed,
lose your customers.
It would mean job losses. It would mean a high decrease in the number of passengers going to and coming from work. So I think it was largely for purposes of self-interest.
Dr. John Berger, thank you for talking to us this afternoon here on Chai FM. I think my takeaway from what you were saying, clear systemic issues that we really have to address. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.